Spirit of joy, the grace and peace of God, the God who promises, are yours this day and all days. Amen. This week, I was visiting with my colleagues at Lutheran World Relief about this text. You see, the fun thing and interesting thing about doing a popular sermon series is that I'm out of sync with the lectionary, meaning I can't rely on my usual study group. So I took advantage of the fact that I have several theologically trained staff that I get to call colleagues, and I asked them how they would approach this text, given the context we are in the 21st century, and the questions percolated from there. Where have we exiled ourselves from God? How are we keeping ourselves from seeking God with our whole heart? And do we trust that God is still in control and that God's promises are still legitimate? Needless to say, we had some good conversation and I got some good advice, as I would expect. But I do want to share a practice that one of my coworkers taught me. Before I do that, permit me a sidebar. Two of my colleagues work in our quilt and kit ministry. Actually, they're the two ladies that run that program, and I'll let you hazard a guess as to what their names might be. Those of you who are in the first service, you're disqualified, but if there are folks, I can hazard a guess as to what their names might be. Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. Martha is in the green shirt, Mary in the blue. That is us together just about a month or so. I always get a kick out of sharing that because they do embody those names and those characters fully, those roles fully. Now, I know we've recently started a quilting ministry here at Spirit of Joy, and I encourage the quilters to actually connect with the Lutheran World Relief Facebook group. It's an active group where you can find questions to all your quilting needs. So please feel free to engage with them and then certainly come and visit with me afterwards if you're interested in learning more about that ministry. But this week, Mary said something else that struck with me. She said that when she reads this text, she will often insert her own name into it. And I appreciate that Jeremiah is writing to a people, to all of Israel in exile. This is a direct continuation of the corporate promises that God made to Israel through Moses, promises rooted in God's covenant faithfulness. And yet, the beauty of God's word is that it speaks to us both corporately and personally. It reminds us that even in exile, when we have fallen short and when things feel broken, God's promises remain faithful. By claiming this promise personally, we're reminded that salvation and hope are given freely by God and not earned by our effort. So join me and Mary in claiming that personal promise. You can feel free to take out your pew Bibles, but I will have it here on the screen as well. Page 690, again, as a reminder. When we read it first, I want to read it as it is. So starting with verse 11, let's read together. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Now, let's try that again, but this time let's insert our own name. So it'll read something like this. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, Jamie, for you, Marnie, for you, Eric, where's Grady, for you, Grace." Let's try that and enter our own name. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, Jamie, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope." I love that. Personal and communal promise. Mary also added this thought. Jeremiah's message lands like a halftime team talk. Now, I'm a coach. I coach football. It's the one you play with your feet, in case you're wondering. I see a couple of American football shirts here. That's not my sport. So this resonated with me. Jeremiah's team has been on the losing end in the first half. They didn't listen to his instruction or his prophecy. They ignored him. Essentially, they turned away from God, and they ridiculed God's messenger. Ultimately, They pay the price because they get pretty beat up to a point where they actually are living in exile, exiled from their home and feeling exiled from relationship with God. They gather in the changing room at halftime, licking their wounds, and in steps their coach. Not yelling, not screaming, "I told you so," but offering a new message, a reminder of who they are and who they belong to, and a reminder that God's promises have not forsaken them. And just as God's promises were spoken to all of Israel in exile, calling them to patient faithfulness, so too these promises speak to each of us personally. God invites us to participate in that long work of hope, not just as community, but as individuals, trusting that even when we cannot see the full outcome, God's plans are unfolding for our good. It may feel hard to believe in such a promise given the turmoil of our world. In fact, this week has been another pretty hard week, on top of over 100,000 hard weeks since the birth, ministry, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it has again been a week filled with conflict, with mass shootings and politically motivated assassinations. This can make us feel like we are far from the promises of God, far from the discipleship of Christ. Maybe we too feel exiled from relationship with God. But herein lies Jeremiah's good word and our good news. It's only halftime. So here we are, gathered in the changing room. The final whistle hasn't blown yet. It's time we started playing as the embodiment of that promise. God knows you. God knows you completely, and God knows God's plans for you. And whilst that might be hard for us to believe, hard for us to grasp, and it certainly was for the Israelites in exile in Babylon, it is worth hearing again. Jeremiah's word to the exiles is really a word about deferred gratification. Now, I don't know about you, but that term feels countercultural. In our instant economy, in our now society, where we can get everything that we want and the same-day delivery. You know what? In fact, I could pull out my phone right now and order some bread and have it delivered in time for communion. Thankfully, we don't need that. But it is something I could do, right? God's promise is sure, but it is not instant. Jeremiah writes, "Only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you." 70 years may as well be a lifetime. And I believe that is what Jeremiah is implying here. He calls on those in exile to be patient and to commit to living a devoted life to God, to recommit to living a devoted life to God, planting gardens, building houses, raising children, and praying for the peace of the city in which they live. You can see why the prophet's message is so hard to hear. A reminder, the Israelites are in exile. They are living amongst their enemies, and he, Jeremiah, encourages them to be patient. Not only that, but to pray for the peace of the city in which they live. It's also a callback to his earlier prophetic message when he warned of the fall of that into exile because of the people's distance from God. His message of hope is not simply a band-aid on the wounds of the people in exile. It's a continued call to devotion, to worship and seeking God, but to seek God with their whole heart. Writing, "When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with your heart." It is a call to return to faith, to devotion, a devoted life for 70 years, for a lifetime, perhaps for 70 lifetimes. Jeremiah reminds his reader, and yes, that includes us, that God's long work unfolds through our and their faithfulness. That's what deferred gratification looks like in the life of faith. Planting the seeds you may never harvest, investing in a future you may never fully enjoy, trusting that God's purposes are larger than our own lifetime. God's plans are not instant download plans. They are plans for a future and a plans for hope, a future that sometimes requires waiting. Let's be real, always requires waiting. It's a future that will ask of you endurance, sacrifice, and even exile. But in that waiting, through that endurance and as a reward for that sacrifice, we learn to trust and we learn to have faith, the kind of faith we heard described in our lesson from Hebrews. Let me share with you a story of how the faith of congregations throughout this country helps encourage patience and sow hope for our neighbors on the other side of the world. Through my work with Lutheran World Relief, I had the privilege of visiting coffee farmers in Uganda. And high on Mount Elgon in the farming community of Bududa, I met a remarkable group of people, people of resilience, community, and faith. And I bring you greetings from your siblings in Christ who live and work there. When I asked what message they would like me to convey to congregations like Spirit of Joy, they told me to remind you. To remind you that before the Tower of Babel, we were one people, thousands of miles apart, and yet they see you as kin, recognizing that we have been exiled from each other from the time we tried to be gods ourselves, and yet they see you as kin. The people of Bududa are deeply rooted in faith, and they apply that faith into their work every day. One farmer shared with me a practice that he learned through participation in a Lutheran World Relief demonstration, the process of stumping. Stumping is a method where the farmer takes a coffee plant that perhaps is not yielding as much as it could and cuts it back down to the stump so that new, stronger growth can come from it. You see an example of a couple of stumped plants on the screen here in front of you. But does it not also sound like a story of resurrection, cutting it back so that more growth can come? But to do so, it is a risky process. A farmer won't stump his whole crop, but maybe a couple of plants. But that means that they will not get coffee from that plant for 1, 2, perhaps maybe even 3 seasons. And no coffee means no income, only hope. As I said, it can be risky, and it requires trust. This farmer confessed to us his fear. It's understandable when margins are thin and every harvest counts. But when asked why he still chooses to stump his plants, his answer was simple and profound. Faith. He chose to step beyond fear, to not close himself to it, but instead to leave it behind, to divorce himself from the stress of the immediate, and to instead trust in a life of abundance and a promise of delayed gratification. And boy, did that promise come through. The stumped plants have increased their yield, and now he wishes to share what he has learned with others. Blessed by his own faith, he seeks to be a blessing to others. Now, I bought some of the coffee from Uganda with me, harvested by the same farmers who live out this faith, and I'm going to be giving some of that away today, as well as some other products from Lutheran World Relief Projects. So please come and visit with me after worship, sign up to hear more of these stories, and as I said, somebody is going to win that. It might as well be you. The witness of the people of Mount Elgon and the farmers of Bududa is just one glimpse of the kind of work made possible through your support of Lutheran World Relief. And our brother in Bududa showed us what faith looks like. Cutting back, risking the loss of one season, perhaps two, trusting in God's promise of a future with hope. And when he reaped the reward of this patient approach, this delayed gratification, he blessed others with what he had received. Friends, that faith is the same faith we heard told in our lesson from Hebrews. And the blessings that he received is the same blessings that come from our gracious God who spoke through Jeremiah. a God who remains faithful even when we falter. It's the same God who knows you, forgives you, and holds you in his mercy. The same God who knows God's plans for your future. So it's time to take our seats once more. So we enter our changing room, our dressing room. It's halftime. We've been getting beat up pretty bad out there, but do not fear. Hear again that promise as we get ready to re-enter God's playing field. For surely I know the plans I have for you, Marge, for you, Tom, for you, Karn, and for you, Stan. I know the plans I have for you, Spirit of Joy, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Amen.